Welcome to But Wait, There's More. This is a conversation show about things that are important to the life and culture of the people of Legacy Church in Plano, Texas. Our mission is to provide you with positive content based on a biblical worldview that will encourage you wherever you are in your day. My name is Zach Forbes. I'm so happy you're with us today. I am joined by Zach Conrad today. Hello, Zach.
Hey.
Have you guys ever heard of Shane and Shane?
Yes.
Yeah, we're basically like Zach and Zach. It's like the low budget version. So we once joked that we would start a little worship band together.
I think we did. Didn't I play bass in your house as a kid?
Probably.
With your brother, actually.
Yeah, my brother played guitar. Not me. I think we once joked you'd play acoustic and I'd do something drums.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
never worked out. You know, we might have done that at a camp once.
I think so.
Yeah. I don't know that it was that great. But anyway, so low budget Shane and Shane here to talk to you today about how debt robs generosity. That's the name of our episode today. So we're going to talk a little bit about debt. But first, just want to introduce, why is Mr. Conrad here? So if you want to share a little bit about your background and a little bit about your story with finances.
Yeah. So I think everybody knows me around here because I'm a CPA. I'm an auditor, right? So, you know, people see me coming at work and they go running. But yeah, I've spent, you know, I have a, you know, accounting master's. And so I've spent a long time, you know, studying it professionally, but long before I even got, you know, into it as kind of a professional field, you know, I grew up in a home that had, where I received pretty much a strong financial education as a kid, right? Everything, you know, I paid for most of my own things as a kid. You know, I would work around the house. I would earn money. I would buy the things that I needed. And then I saw my parents, right? They never had debt. And my dad managed money and taught us how to manage money as a kid. And so we were always around it. And I think my parents had maybe, or my dad especially, had an unhealthy view of money to the point, or end of debt, that they just completely shunned it and stayed away from it. And yeah. And I think there was some unhealthy habits built there, right? Where it was, we never saw, you know, we never had any debt. My parents never had debt. Not once. Didn't have a mortgage, never borrowed money for a car. They just didn't do it. Right. And they lived here in Plano. And so it was, you know, an affluent area, and a lot of people have debt around here and they weren't. And so I kind of grew up in this environment where you didn't do it. And you were just always responsible for your own thing. And I had, that's how I was raised, was making sure. I mean, my brother, you know, he wanted to play baseball. My parents made him go out and buy a glove, pay for his fees to play and all that kind of stuff. They at least paid for me to play. But when he went through, he didn't. And that was kind of how it was as a kid. You just kind of found ways to pay for the things that you wanted.
Yeah. So now I'm curious, how did they go about like teaching you a budget, or how to, you know, was it kind of like a sit down and a talk, or how did they go about doing that?
It was more probably just, you know, practical, real world application, right? So if I had my chore money, or if I got money at Christmas or something like that, and I wanted to go buy something, my dad would typically sit down and say, well, this is what you have and this is what you could buy. And I'd say, well, cool. I got, you know, $20 from grandma. I'm going to go buy a $20 Lego set. And he's like, well, you know, you're not going to buy a $20 Lego set. You're going to buy a $10 Lego set and you're going to save the 10.
Yeah.
And of course that always made me angry. I'm like, well, it's my money, Dad. I can do what I want to with it. And he's like, nope, this is how you're going to do it. And this is why. And so he would, because he said, you don't know if something else is going to come along tomorrow that you're going to want or that you're going to need. Right. And so, there was a point in time, my brother, we had, you know, this is a long time ago, right? We had these little TVs. I knocked his over and broke it. And it was my responsibility to go out and buy another one. So I had to go out, I think it was like $150, and I had to go out and use my own money to buy a new TV for my brother. And, yeah. So if I had taken my $20 and bought a Lego set with him, you know, I wouldn't have had, you know, that $10 here and there enough to replace the TV that I broke for my brother.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's cool. That reminds me, I once, like my friend of mine invited me over to like do this, taste testing thing. Like it was people were hiring like taste testers. And I was like in fourth grade and we got like $40. Like we didn't actually end up taste testing anything, but because we showed up, you know, it was like, here's 40.
Nice.
And I remember that I biked out to like CVS or whatever, and they had DVDs, and I bought Spy Kids for like $27.
Nice.
And I brought it back and I was like, I got spy kids. And my brother and sister were like, what? You spent $27? It's like, it's my money, you know? Yeah. But to this day, I still remember that. So it's funny when you mentioned the movie set, it just made me think of that.
That made me think of a time my friend and I, we both got paid. We both worked at the movie theater. We got paid on the same day. And he was like, let's go. We're going to Best Buy. So we drove up there. He spent his entire paycheck on like CDs and DVDs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I think I bought one thing, you know, and when we walked out, he was like, man, I don't even know how I'm going to buy gas. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you're going to buy gas and get to work for the rest of the next 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
So
that's a good point. And then you mentioned maybe an unhealthy view of debt. So I'm curious if you could explain that a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for my parents, it was just, you just don't spend, right? You don't spend. And if you don't spend, you've got cash to pay for the things that you need. And, you know, anytime that we saw somebody that needed to borrow money or was hurting or something like that, I mean, my parents were always very generous and would give, but there was a lot of talk about that person being a mooch or I can't tell you how many times we talked about somebody being a mooch because they weren't capable of having their own funds available to them. And so there was always this mentality that if you were unable to, you know, manage these things, you know, in a way, then you were borrowing off other people and you weren't responsible. And so you had this really unhealthy view that a lot of things that people do that are very common, like borrow money for a car, borrow money for a house, was seen as a very bad thing and seen as a reflection on your character.
Yeah, that makes sense. So then I think that's a good segue. Let's dive into what is debt? Is there healthy? I think there's unhealthy, but is there healthy debt? How does the world view debt? So I guess let's just start. What is debt?
Yeah. So debt's, it's, you could get real technical and say it's where there's a borrower and a lender and you owe, the borrower has borrowed a sum of money or something like that in order to fund a house or a car or whatever. And they owe that amount plus interest, right? Which is, we even talk about that, but it's, it's the fee for borrowing that money and they owe that back to the lender. And it's generally in some sort of payment fashion, right? Over 12 months, over 60 months, something like that.
Yeah. So very basic.
Very basic.
If I needed $100 today and I asked you and you trusted me, Zach's going to pay me back. I said, I'll pay you back in 2 months.
Yeah.
And you might say, okay, I trust Zach. Well, I know, who's Zach? Which Zach am I referring to?
Yeah,
I don't know. I trust him. So I'm going to give you the $100, but can you give me 10 more?
Yep.
When it's, you know, in July, right? 2 months. It's like, okay, right. That's just a very super simple, I need it now, right? And I'm going to give you a little bit of money. So it kind of worth your time not having that 100 for 2 months.
Yep.
Now I think the question maybe that we're going to dive into in a little bit is also, but why do I need that 100? But anyway, so we kind of talked about debt, just the basics there. What are some healthy and what's unhealthy?
Yeah, I think I think there's a lot of things that can be healthy debt, right? I mean, buying a house, right, is a perfect example where you might need a mortgage, right? They're very expensive.
Yep.
A lot of people don't have, you know, whatever, I don't even know what a house is going for now, but let's just say it's $400,000, $500,000, something like that.
Yep.
You don't, normally people don't have that much money sitting in their bank. And even if they did have that much money, you may not want to take all of it and put it into a house because you could have it invested somewhere and things like that. So there can be real reasons to have debt, right? And there can be really healthy reasons to have debt. It might, you know, if you spend all your cash to buy a house, right? If your AC goes out or you have a problem or whatever, you know, you might not have the funds to do it. So the debt can create liquidity for you in a situation like something like a house or something that's a large purchase. I generally think healthy debt is where you're buying something that's going to maintain or add or retain a value, right? Mm-hmm. So something that might be unhealthy debt, the easiest thing to pick on is a credit card, right? You know, what am I buying with a credit card? Could be clothes, could be, I don't know, groceries, whatever. I
mean, CDs.
CDs.
Spy Kids.
Spy Kids, yeah. you're not, those things aren't really retaining any value, right? They have value to you. They're important to you, right? You get to watch Spy Kids, which is a great, I guess. I don't know if I've actually, I did watch it with my kids like a month ago. It's the first time I've ever seen it.
Yeah. It's great, right?
Yeah. It's
great.
Fantastic. Yeah. But, I mean, I think that's the problem, right? A lot of times people see things and they want things, and we live in a culture where people have a lot of those things around us. Every 2 years we buy a disposable computer that goes in our pocket, right? And it's just a phone and it costs like $1,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's debt, right? We're generally paying them off over a period of time, maybe, I don't know, 2 years or 3 years or something like that. But we want it, we see it, we go buy it because at one, everybody else has it and we want it. And so we justify it that way. Well, my neighbor has it, so I need it. Or, you know, maybe I want to go on a vacation, right? And I don't have the funds to go to Europe, and I see other people do it, and I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to put it all on a credit card, and maybe for good reason, right? Because a credit card can be a valuable tool to protect your financials, right? Your bank isn't out there, right? So if a credit card gets hacked, it's not my money. It's the bank's money that I can, you know. But that's... I think people know what's going to be healthy debt and what's unhealthy debt. And a lot of times we're using it as a thing to get something that we want that we may not really need, right? We're filling our homes with a lot of junk a lot of times, and it may feel important. It may feel good. But a lot of times it really isn't adding any intrinsic value to our lives.
Yeah. I like that as we were preparing and you already said it, so I want to repeat it. With like a home, for example, that's going to maintain its value in most cases.
Yeah, most of the time.
Or it's going to increase in value. So having a mortgage out on that can make sense because you're not losing out. Yeah. And then another example being a car. A car is something we need in our society, at least where we live here in Dallas, right? We can't really walk anywhere.
It's too hot.
Too
far.
Yeah. Heat is one thing. Yeah. Distance, another. So it's not really a walkable city, right? So there's that. But the moment you buy the car, it begins to depreciate, right? It's losing its value. And, you know, especially it depends on which car you're getting in the same way. But so there's that. And then, like you said, there's credit card debt. So it can it can be things you just want, like clothes. Obviously, clothes
don't really
maintain
value. A lot of times, too, a mortgage, if I buy a house, right, I'm not paying rent anymore. So the payment's going somewhere regardless, right? I've got to pay to live somewhere. And so, you know, I definitely see a mortgage as a very practical means. Now, I think people can get in over their heads and they become house poor because they're looking at the payment and not the price of the house. And I think, you know, I think whenever you're saying what's the monthly payment on it, I think that's the wrong mentality generally. Mm-hmm. You got to know what your monthly payment is. But yeah, I think that when you go into a car dealership and they say, what can you afford a month? That you've already lost if you tell them. Mm-hmm. So, cause you just want the top dollar value, not the, you don't want to know what you can pay a month. Not.
Yeah. And like you said, if you're only focused on that and then you're not thinking about, well, what if the AC goes out or
exactly.
You know, what if this happens? And usually it's not if, it's when, you know, that kind of thing. And then there's another thing I wanted to touch on as well is you kind of mentioned, I liked the phone analogy. Because I think, and even with cars, so this can really go with anything. You know, we say like, oh, a 2 year cycle with a phone. I think when we rely on debt, it can also create an ungratefulness of what we do have.
Absolutely.
So for me, I usually buy my phones. It is an iPhone, but I'm on the 12 right now. It's been a while. I had whatever I had before. I don't even remember what I had before, but I had it for a couple of years before it like dies. I think it just sort of, it makes you sort of be grateful for what you do have and then like really appreciate what you do have. And again, we're talking about robs you of generosity. It also can kind of rob you of
gratefulness,
the gratefulness or just happiness because you're always thinking, wow, this phone now is old or this car now is old or these clothes are old. I need new things, right?
Absolutely. I think when you've had to work really hard and save something over a period of time, and then you go out and spend the big chunk to get it, you really value it a lot more. Not that we need to value these earthly things, but you know, you're going to take care of it. Right. I think we're just, they're all God's resources anyways. Right. And I look at it as I have an income and that's a gift. That's a gift from God and it's a gift for me to use. Right. And I need to allocate it correctly. And, And if I choose to buy a phone with that, I need to take care of it too, because that's a gift from God. And so all these things, we just don't want to treat it like trash, because they're really, you know, we're using things that are really belong to the kingdom.
Yeah. Which that brings to mind that word stewardship that we hear a lot,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not, it's just, we're managing those finances. They're not ours necessarily, right? Mm-hmm. And the things we buy with them. So I like that. I think it also segues into how does the world view debt? Before I go into that, I think at least two ways for me is, one, you could look at debt as, I've got this chain around my neck. I'm a slave to debt. It's really, it's taking away my happiness. It's messing with me, right? You could also sort of have, the only way I can think of it is casual debt. Like, I just get a car loan. Like, that's just what everybody does here in Plano, right? And I can afford it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not like killing you, but it is there. I don't know if there's any other views of debt, or if you feel like that covers both, but just what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair. I think most people accept debt as a form of life, right?
Yeah.
It's just how you live. You got debt, you get your credit cards, you're going to borrow for your car, right? And I think people just accept it as a way of life. And yeah, I think there's probably a bit of that feeling of a chain around your neck, even with that, right? And so, but yeah, I think the world in general has accepted it as a common practice and commonplace, that debt is just something, and I might even say a necessary evil, but I don't even know if it's viewed as a necessary evil. I think it's just accepted as part of life.
Just common. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And so I think it's just, it's what you do.
Yeah. Okay. So then I want to jump in, for those of you listening, I want to kind of cover sort of, I don't know, three or four chunks, right? First, prevention of debt. So let's just say you're brand new, right? You just got your very first job and you've got this money now. What do you do with it, right? How do you stay away from debt? Second topic would be, how does debt happen? How do we get into debt? Third topic would be how and why we need to get out of debt, or how we can do that, right? And then kind of ending on how debt robs generosity, right? The title of this episode. Yeah. So whether you're in one of those three stages, stick around for the conversation, because we're going to kind of try to cover the whole picture here. So start with prevention of debt. So just pretending we just got that first job, we've just got our finances. How do we set ourselves up for success that we don't fall into that?
Yeah, I think at its most basic level, I could probably answer all three of those with just one simple thing, having a plan.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but if we're talking about not getting a debt and getting your first job, yeah, it's have a plan, right? Know what you want, know what you want to do with your funds, and have a plan for it. Don't let your emotions kind of dictate what you're going to buy and do. And my goodness, I think we're in a world too, where we have our phones on us or near us at all times, and we can impulse buy anything we want, and impulse buy really expensive things. When we were younger, right, you impulse bought a pack of gum in the grocery store line, but you went to the grocery store with what you wanted in mind.
Yeah.
But now, you're watching TV at night and you see something or whatever you do. I don't even know if we watch TV, but people watch Netflix or whatever. Yeah. They stream something, but you think something, you see something on, you know, social media platform, and you're like, I want that. And you just go get it. Right. And I think one of the biggest things you can do is, are you willing to drive to the store for it? Mm-hmm. If you're willing to get in your car and drive to the store for it, maybe that's something that is of value enough to you that you're going to put the energy and time to go get it. And so having that plan, right, where you're not just buying something when you think about it, and having that discipline to say, hey, I thought of this, I'm going to wait a day and make sure this falls in line with my plan. And I think that's one of the biggest things you can do to stay out of debt, is make sure that you have a plan and you stick to the plan.
Mm-hmm. So what are some different tools to come up with a plan?
I mean, the basic thing is a budget, right? That's what I'm talking about when I say a plan. It's a budget, and nobody really likes the term budget, or it gets a little scary. And what are you talking about? Well, you need to know what you're bringing in, right? Yeah. You got it. And you need to know what you're bringing in, and you need to know, you've got to categorize it, right? And as a Christian, you know, the first place, I mean, our first fruits go to the Lord. Mm-hmm. The very first item on your plan, on your budget, is what you're giving to church. Number one. And then after that, it's your essentials, right? My house, my utilities, my food. Mm-hmm. You got to have all that. And then you get left over with your disposable income and, you know, or say disposable, I guess it's all disposable, right? But what are you doing with the rest that's left over? Do you have subscriptions to things and stuff like that? And so, but having that plan, setting that, and the best way to really do it is what they call it zero-based budget, mm-hmm. where every dollar, every month is accounted for. And so, and some of that is savings, right? You need to have savings, right? And so you can put money into some sort of account, or it's best to actually keep it out of the place where you're spending, because if it's there, you might spend it. So if you can separate it somewhere else, that's better. And that can be an emergency fund. Mm-hmm. It could be a car fund. It could be, you know, anything that you may desire it to be. But yeah, label it. Give it a name. If it has a name, then it's got a plan. It's got a place for itself.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. How, I'm thinking of my own budgeting journey. How easy would you say a zero-based budget is from the get-go?
I don't know. I don't do a great zero-based budget. I put everything in there and I look at the bottom and I say, what's left over? Okay. You know, I just say, that's going to go here. And then I know it's not going to be perfect, right? I might spend a little bit more on gas or something like that. And so it's not always going to be perfect. If you're really struggling, people say go cash budget and then you're forced to. But you know, now,
yeah, like in
now
an envelope system.
Yeah, it's hard. Especially because there's a lot of things that have gone cashless now. So it starts making it a little bit harder. And
yeah.
So,
yeah. But no, I know. Yeah. As for my own journey, because I would say like I was at the point of budgeting and it was just kind of what was left over. I don't know that I really, I mean, I had all everything like we just talked about, you know, first fruits and house and rent or whatever it was in that point of life.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of like whatever was left over and kind of kept an eye on that. But then it was like, oh, I gotta get a haircut. I didn't think about that. Or, yeah.
My brother's birthday.
Yeah, brother's, oh, forgot that. Oh, I gotta get an oil change. Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't really think about that. So, like, it is hard. And I've gotten to the point where I do now, I'm trying to like categorize things specifically, like you said, a car fund or, you know, a vacation fund or something where I'm taking it and I'm just putting it somewhere else and it's got a name to it now. But it's still hard. Right.
To make it all the way
down to zero.
It's hard.
Because like you said with your example with the Lego set, you might want to hold on to those $10 because you don't know what's coming down the road.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it gets harder if you're married, right? So people that are married, because now you got two people that have different desires and wants for that money.
Yeah.
And building a zero-based budget can be hard. It can be really challenging, right? So for like me and my wife, I was the financially minded person and she wasn't, and it always felt like a scolding for her to discuss it. Until we flipped the whole script and it's like, and she started building the budget. And so once she built the budget, then it gave her ownership of it. And so, you know, I think it's always best to have the less financially minded person in your marriage. There's always going to be two people that one's going to have, of course there's always two people, but one's going to be more financially minded. It's always going to happen. One's going to be more financially minded and it's better to have the less financially minded person build that budget because it's going to give them maybe a little bit of an autonomy over it and give some of them that freedom.
Yeah.
And then have the person that's the more financially minded person review it and talk about it. Right. So that's the best way to, if you got, you know, when you're married and you're struggling with how you're going to do this together and you haven't done it a lot, then you definitely want the less financially minded person. And if they need some coaching, give them some coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that? Hard for you guys? Was that easy for you guys? How do you feel that experience was?
It was hard for me at first because I didn't want to give it up. I said, well, she's going to put, you know, I don't know, candy and soda and, you know, things that I don't want to spend on there. But it really was freeing and it actually opened up a whole set of things for us to talk about that we didn't talk about or that we avoided at first. And I think it was actually really beneficial for our marriage too, because then all of a sudden it was no longer her being told by me, the financially minded person, what to do with the money, but she also had ownership, and that's really how it should be, right? It's a partnership, and how we're managing this together. It's not one person dictating how it should be going.
Yeah, Oh, that's interesting. I know in some couples too, you said there's always one financially more minded. And I think there are some couples too, where the one that's less financially doesn't even want to touch it.
Don't want to touch it. You're right.
I don't want to touch it. So I think there's one where it's like, I want it to be mine, right? Mm-hmm. The more financially. And I think there's also that I don't want to touch it.
That's how we were.
But it is, I think that is hard, right? Because you like the one who's more financially minded really does want to like, let's talk about it, right? Because I want to be aligned. I want to be on the same page. But it can be harder. Yeah. But I've seen, like you've said, I've seen the benefit of when you do come together and start to think about your goals and start to align, and you both become interested. And it doesn't have to be a PowerPoint presentation with graphs, right?
It can
just be like you've mentioned, maybe there's certain categories we've never even touched or talked about or really established, like what's important for our family. You know, goals, financial goals, right?
Yeah. When you put the plan down too, you see what is important to you, because that's where you're spending your money. And if it's not aligning with your goals, you don't know if you don't have a plan. You don't know if your money's aligning with your goals or not until you put it all down.
Yeah. So, and I'll say maybe the last thing on this budget topic, I feel like you and I could probably talk about forever. I do enjoy budgeting. I've got an Excel spreadsheet if anyone wants it. I'm sure Zach does too.
I do.
Well, we both do. The last thing I would say is I also feel like when I really started to budget or plan, even just individually, I can't even really explain it. It's just almost like a form of worship.
Yeah.
That like I would always be at the end of the year, I would kind of like look back at everything that happened, you know, tally up everything. And I would always just like be in awe. And I still am. I still am always like, my goodness, like look what God did this year. And like, how did this even happen? And how are we, you know, it just, you kind of marvel at his provision.
Yeah.
Not like, look at what I did with my money, but just kind of like, you know, we'll just step back and think about how he provided and how you're blessed. And you're like, wow, I don't know. Just to me, it's always, and I only know that when I see what's happening with it. Right.
I agree.
Yeah. So let's move from budget topic, right? You know, we're talking about how do you prevent it? It's really having a plan. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more when we talk about, you know, how it robs generosity and a little bit more wrapping up. But I think it also has to do with your heart, like we've already kind of touched on, like why are you trying to buy new things, or what are you trying to buy, and what's important to you, right? How does debt happen? Maybe we're also going to talk about that now.
Yeah, well, I think it can happen for a lot of reasons, right? And I would say, you could say at its core, it happens because you don't have a plan. But I think there's more than that, right? I mean, that things happen in life that, you know, you might not be planned for, right? You don't plan to get in a wreck. You don't plan to get sick. You don't plan to have your AC unit go out. You don't, there's a lot of things that you don't plan for. You know, you don't plan for some sort of breakdown in a car. And so, you know, if you haven't had the discipline to have funds set aside, right, you start, you know, getting into debt to pay for these things, right? And maybe it's even, you know what, I worked really hard and I deserve a vacation and I really want to go do something and I'm going to, it's my 30th birthday, 40th birthday, 50th birthday, and I'm going to go spend big and do something really fun and I deserve it. Right. And so I think there's a lot of that kind of mentality that starts playing in. Like you either haven't had a plan for it, or you just really want something now that you probably can't afford. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I think that's really what plays into it a lot. It's, if you have to have debt for something, you probably can't afford it quite. I mean, that's about as simple as it gets. So if you're going into debt for something, you probably can't afford it. And if it's something like repairing an AC unit that went out, I mean, like these things are foreseeable, right? We know that AC unit's going to go out in 10 years, mm-hmm. right? You can start saving for it. You say, my AC unit's 6 years old or 7 years old or 8 years old. I'm like, it's probably not going to make it that much longer. So when it goes out, it shouldn't be a huge surprise. Like you should be somewhat expecting it at some point in time.
Yeah.
And so, or if your car needs a repair, right? These are things that happen, and you should have a plan for them, right? And so if you don't have a plan to handle emergencies, if you don't have a plan to set aside funds to buy your phone or to buy something that you really want that's really nice, right? That's how you get into debt, right? It's not having the plan in place to pay for things that are really actually probably foreseeable in some form or fashion.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like debt is so tricky, right? Because like you've already mentioned, there are some instances where, you know, let's just say your kid broke their arm, right? And, you know, there's a big medical bill, or your car breaks down and now you've got to get a new car or something like that. I don't want to dismiss and be like, oh, like we've said, sort of all debt is like, oh my goodness, no way.
Yeah.
Right. There might be situations where you can't afford it, but you just have to, right?
You just have to.
You just have
to. Sometimes you got
to
do it.
Sometimes you got to do it. So I don't want to dismiss that. But I think there are also, like you've been talking about, there are instances where you could wait, or you could have foreseen it. Or when you were talking about the vacation, it just sort of popped in my head too of, you know, it might be okay for me to borrow $100 from you now and I'll pay you back. But if I kind of get used to that, I start to get a taste for that. That's possible. And then let's just say my 40th is coming up and I did a big vacation and then I got back from vacation 2 months later, something else big happens. I'm in the middle of trying to pay off that vacation. Yep. Now I don't have the money to pay for what, you know what I mean? So like, if we start to kind of get a taste for that and think of it as a possibility within our finances, then I think that can start to take
it. It's a really good point. Cause once you start getting into debt, generally it can be challenging to get out. Right. Cause it's now you got a payment that you're making. And so it's harder to have those funds saved up.
Yeah.
And so when the next unexpected event happened, that, like we said, probably could be somewhat expected, right? Now you really don't have the funds for it because you're taking your extra income that you could have been saving for it and you're paying off your debt.
Yeah. So let's segue into that then.
Yeah.
Let's just say we're in a situation where a listener that is in debt, and it could be a little bit of debt, it could be a whole lot of debt. How do we get out of it and why should we get out of it?
Yeah. So the first place to get out of debt, like one you want to get, well, we can get into why you get out, but you want to get out of debt. To get out of debt, you've got to, I mean, there's a lot of people that know a lot more about this than I do. So you could also seek some sort of kind of financial counselor or whatever, but, or you could listen to Dave Ramsey podcast if you're into that.
Yeah.
But I mean, one, you've got to have some source of fund available to handle an emergency. So you got to have an emergency fund to cover those expenses. So you got to do whatever you can to set some money aside, whether that's selling things, you just got to have $1,000. Got to get it away right away. And that way you've got $1,000 sitting there to handle something. Generally $1,000 is going to cover a lot of these quick emergencies. Not always, not an AC unit or something like that, but there's a lot of things that
like
can cover.
New tires.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. $600 or something.
Got to have $1,000.
Yeah.
At least, maybe you want to get up to $2,500 or something like that, but you got to have that available. And without that, it's going to be hard to get out of debt because then you're going to have to use more debt to get out of those emergency type situations. Yeah. After that, you've got a few different approaches, right? There's a few different mentalities to this. I like something called the debt snowball. Mm-hmm. There's also something called the debt avalanche. The debt avalanche will actually get you out of debt faster and you'll save more money in the long run, but you've got to have more discipline to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I kind of prefer the debt snowball because it's more of a baby step. Yeah. And so generally what you do in both of those is you lay out all of your debt, everything that you're paying, right? Whether it's credit cards, whether it's cars or medical bills or student loans or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you lay all those out. With the debt snowball, you do whatever you can to pay off the smallest balance. Mm-hmm. And while you make your minimum payments on everything else. And then once you pay off that smallest balance, you apply all of those funds that were going to the smallest balance to the next smallest balance. Mm-hmm. And then you apply, once that one's paid off, then you apply all the funds from those first two balances that you've paid off that you're paying, and then you apply it to the third smallest balance. So it's like a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you get to your biggest one, and then you're taking all those funds and you're paying off your largest one. So that's the debt snowball. The debt avalanche is similar in approach, except you're looking at your item with the largest interest payment rate. And so you pay off your item that has the largest, you apply all your funds to the item that has the largest interest rate, and you pay off that one as fast as you can. And then you apply those funds. And so, you know, if it's $100, you're taking that $100 and maybe you can maybe you're spending 150 to help pay it down. You take that 100, 150, and then you start putting it on that next item plus whatever you can, right? And then so you go by highest interest rate to lowest interest rate. And it's actually faster because you're paying off the thing that's accruing the interest that's keeping you in debt even longer.
Yeah.
So, but it takes more discipline because you don't get those quick wins, right? You're not paying off a small balance that goes, woohoo, I got something paid off, right? It might be your largest balance. And so then you're stuck there paying off this large balance and it doesn't feel like you're making any ground. Yeah. So it takes a little bit more discipline. It is technically faster and it does save you money because you're paying off the item that has the largest interest rate. But I always prefer the debt snowball. That's generally what I steer people to.
And when you say that too, it kind of makes me think like, you know, when you run a marathon, you don't just go out the first day and run 5 miles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, and that would take some discipline. Mm-hmm. Right. But generally it's like, go run a mile and kind of get used to that and then go run 2 miles. Right.
Yeah. And if you didn't have the discipline in the first place that ended up getting you debt, it's better to take all those smaller steps too. And
yeah. And like you said, because you want to have like those small wins, right? You want the encouragement that what you're doing is actually
is working
and doing something.
And it helps build the discipline. And yeah, it's great. And you get a good feeling, get a good warm, fuzzy feeling when you pay something off.
Yeah. And I've watched Dave Ramsey stuff, right? And you can, he probably can spend like 2 hours just on this whole debt topic, right? He has his baby steps. So what we're talking about is baby step number two, getting out of the debt. And I mean, you know, he talks about attacking it with ferocity, right? Yeah. And like just, you know, putting everything you've got into it, even if it means you've got to eat ramen.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Terrible.
And and
don't eat ramen to get out of debt.
Mac and cheese. Come on, let's elevate it, right? Kraft mac and cheese. So like you can talk about this, right? So I don't want to dismiss it that it's a really easy step. It's hard. It's probably the hardest.
I think
step.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it can be a great one once you get out.
And then I think what people may not realize too is once you've gotten out of debt, you continue to take those payments that you were making and you put them into some sort of an account, right? An emergency fund account. And really what you need is you really are supposed to have about 3 to 6 months in an emergency fund account that would cover you if you get laid off. Right now, it generally takes, I don't know, 3 to 6 months. It depends on the economy, depends on the job, depends on the position, but that gives you 6 months to find a new job and you've got the funds available for it. It gives you the funds available. You can set aside money. You can take a car payment and put it in an account and then buy a car with it. So, So there's lots of things you can do once you're out of debt. It starts giving you freedom because now you're not paying that debt payment and you're not paying the interest. The interest is what kills you. You're paying for something that you didn't even borrow.
Yeah.
So
exactly. And I can, speak from my own experience. I would never say I've been like really deep in debt. I think the most debt I've had is obviously the mortgage, but then car loan.
Yeah.
I don't think I've really had anything besides a car, but just recently we paid off our car. We really like back in October sort of did that sort of coming together where we took a look at our finances and are we being good stewards and really started to look at it. And it was like, okay, what do we need to do to knock out that? And, you know, so it wasn't really a big thing and we didn't have any credit card debt or anything like that. But getting that money back.
Yeah. It's huge.
It was huge to be like that. Yeah. It is a pay raise, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, that payment. Now I can just put to something totally, you know, something else. And now I just got a pay raise basically. And, in a much better position, you know, and then now we're looking at that emergency fund and building it to where we want it to be. And then looking at retirement and, you know, we can just go on and on with the baby steps from there.
Yeah.
But it definitely, just from my own experience, there's a freedom and there's a like, wow, like it's almost a pay increase, right? It's like now I got.
Really is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, think about it. If you paid off your house, I mean, like that's $1,000, $2,000 a month, $3,000 a month that just goes into your pocket. You know, it doesn't even do. So, I mean, like
do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's huge, right? To have things paid off. And it really is. It starts operating like a pay raise.
And, you know, so let's just say it's like a $200 car payment, right? Now let's say you divvy that up and you do $50 here and $50 to this category and you sort of set it aside. So let's just say $50 to like home maintenance things and $50 to like a car so that eventually you'll have enough money to do oil changes. Like, you know, when the time comes at any point, you now have that liquidity, right? Where you can just, oh, something's happened. I need to stop that. mm-hmm. and now shift it, right? But when you have a car payment, you can't just shift that $200, oh. right?
It's stuck.
It's stuck. So I think that's also been a lot of freeing thing for me too, is like, wow, you can really stop what you're doing, change yeah. your goal at any point you want, right? And have that freedom.
Yeah, it's a, go back to the plan topic or the budgeting topic. That item already has a name. Those dollars already have a name, and you don't have a choice where it goes. It's yeah. going to the bank or whatever. So it's been labeled by your bank.
Yeah. And even if you also, like, say you've put $1,000 away for a future car and something happens, I mean, yeah, you've put a name yep. to it, but yeah. you can grab it.
You could reallocate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Reallocate yeah. it completely. You'd be like, oh, okay, well, I need that now.
I need an air conditioner. Yeah, it's Texas.
I kind of need an air conditioner. Yeah. So, you know, that's there, right? So I think it's just a freeing thing.
Yeah.
Definitely useful there. So that's kind of how and why. I mean, how we could talk about that for hours. but I want to then dive into sort of the title of the episode, right? How debt robs generosity. So I think probably by now we've sort of gotten a hint at how it robs it, but maybe we can provide some more clarification on that
title. Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah. Cause it's like we just talked about, you don't have the funds available when something comes up, right? I don't know. Depends on what you want to be. Once you have those funds available and they're liquid, I mean, whatever you're interested in being generous in, and I think we're called to be generous givers, right? I mean, these aren't really, it's not ours, right? We're in this, you know, we're temporary residents of this world, and mm-hmm. you know, what are we going to do with the money anyways someday? I mean, we might as well give it to people that need it, and I mean, it's a gift to us, right? And so I think, Once you have that financial freedom because you're out of debt, right? You can be excited when the church has an adoption fund, and you can say, "Yeah, I'm all on board with that, and I'm going to give money to the adoption fund," right? Or and you wouldn't want to. You have your tithe, right? What you're giving to the church, you're giving mm-hmm. that anyways. So you know you're not going to reallocate your tithe to the adoption fund, right? The adoption fund is that generosity. It's that mm-hmm. what allows you to be generous. And I mean, we're called to be, you know, cheerful givers, and it really is exciting when you have that money available. I mean, perfect example. We were able to kind of get some money available for a young girl that had a baby recently. And I mean, I think we ended up, I mean, it wasn't just us. It was several people that kind of yeah. pooled together, and we gave her like $700. And it was like, I mean, it just brought her to tears. She couldn't believe how generous people could be. And, yeah. and she was, you know, she said, oh my gosh, like I had always heard God was going to provide, and I was running out of money to buy stuff for the baby. And oh my gosh, I just got this whole influx to be able to do this. And what a cool moment is that? Is it helps someone realize that scripture's true, and that, you know, God's going to take care of you even when you're in a hard spot. And it was the generosity of people that led to that, right? And if you're in debt and you can't give money to those kind of things, you can't, and those things give life to people, right? I mean, it's, mm-hmm. it's those little things like that can make a big difference in someone's life. And so, yeah, when you don't have to worry about, can I afford to give somebody $100 or $200, or can I afford to, you know, put $500 or $1,000 into the adoption fund? I mean, you can start doing that, and it's exciting to see what happens with that. And it's exciting to see what it does. And, you get to see how other people benefit from it. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's exciting. And so when you're in debt, you don't really have those options because that money's already labeled, right? And you don't get to label it yourself.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, when you're in debt, you can still tithe, and there may be still chances where yeah. you do give, right? So I don't want to dismiss that. But I think one of the things I want to almost focus on is this, the cheerful. Because I think when you are in debt, maybe you're a little bit more inward focused, yeah. right? Because you've got your own things to take care of, right? I've got my own bills. And I think once you start to get free and, like, you no longer have those chains holding you down, you have that liquidity that we've been talking about. Now it's like you're maybe a little bit more outward focused. Huh, what should I do with this money I've got? You start to categorize things, and then maybe it does come across your mind. What if I did just was a little bit more generous, like looked out for opportunities like this?
Yeah.
What if I set aside a little bit of money each month just to accrue. And, you know, eventually I get $200 and then I hear about this person and all of a sudden it doesn't sting. Yeah. It's what I've been waiting for, yeah. Right? Oh, I've been waiting for this opportunity. And like, you can just freely give it and be yeah. happy about it. Cause I'm even thinking from like my own budgeting journey is like, even with something like putting away money for car maintenance, the oil needs to be changed or the brake pads, you know, that used to be like you walk in and they're like, that's $300.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'll let them wear down a little bit more.
Yeah.
Right. It's fine.
Then you
it's
come back fine. And it's $500 because you got to get new rotors.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> Right. But then it's like $300. It still stings. But when you know you've got that bucket,
yep.
it's like, yeah, here you go. You yep. know, I've been saving for that. And so I imagine it's very similar when it comes to generosity of, again, if you can categorize it being like, yes, I've been saving for this. Yeah. Right. And here I get to use it. Right?
I think the thing is too, like, I don't know, as a Christian, I think we just got to view things different. I mean, like you think about it, we're born into debt. We're born into a debt of sin.
Yes. Know?
And, you know, when you accept Christ and that, and your debt's forgiven, I mean, we're not, they're good analogies, right? When we're talking about financial debt and the debt of sin, I mean, one, you know, your financial debts are forgiven. You finally have the freedom to live in a manner that lets you free your finances to freely give and freely bless other people, or just live life without being worried and kind of restrained. And same way when your sins are forgiven, right? You're out of the debt of the sin. And I mean, you just see it and you can see it in people that are Christians versus not. I mean, generally there's they're in a community and they're freely living. There's hope, right? You have yeah. you have hope in that life afterwards, and when you and you know that the people that don't know Christ are living in a place where they just don't have that hope. And I think they're decent parallels, actually. I know one's much more significant than the other, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's a reason why they use similar terminology, I think. Hmm.
Yeah, because I think it's finances, right? That's something we all have to deal with. So it's yeah. all something we can relate to.
Yeah, sin's robbing you of life, debt's robbing you of generosity.
Oh, there you go. We can end on that. Just mic drop. If I can just drop this mic. Yeah, no, and I was I didn't want to go here because I feel like this is another segue. But I was also thinking as I was preparing for this episode, like, I mean, we talk about budgeting of our finances. Sometimes I wonder, should I be budgeting my time?
Yeah,
like you know, a planner, right? Jamie, my wife uses a planner, and it's hard for me to just to set my own planner, right? But I wonder sometimes. I'm like, man, do I really budget my time? And if I looked at it and I was like, I spent like 30 minutes on YouTube.
Yep.
Maybe I should have spent that time better. And what if I categorize the time of my day? I mean, not nitty gritty zero based. But I'm like, would I then get to a point where I'm like
zero based day,
8 hours of sleep?
What happens if you wake up early or go to sleep late? You're in trouble.
That's right. You go into debt. No, but I just thought, like, you know, could I be more generous with my time if I was actually had a plan
yeah.
for it?
I think you're right. Yeah. I think so. And I think we heard Pastor David talk about that a few weeks ago. Really was, you know, taking a better hold of his time. And I mean, it's really no different than
yeah.
than kind of what we're talking about now. But yeah, I think a lot of it just, you know, we have things that we want, we have things that we like, we're comfortable, and sometimes that results in waste, whether wasted time, wasted money. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do like that you brought up Pastor David, because I was thinking about that of when I was also preparing for the episode. Well, when he gave the sermon, I was like, oh, this would be nice. He really said, I don't want you to think about what you can add to your mm-hmm. schedule. You know, his sermon was all about prayer and having prayer being an important part, right, of building a wall of prayer around your life. And one of the things was, don't think about how you can add it to your life. Think about what you need to remove.
Yeah.
So for him, it was Netflix. And like, you know, when he stepped away from that, when he gave that to God and asked his sons to do a Bible study and just the transformation in their life, right? So it is an interesting parallel of what it's do we true. Need to remove from our budget or from yep. Whether it's time or whether it's money, what do we need to remove? We need to remove debt,
yep.
right? From so we can freely live and
it's a good point.
Experience. Yeah.
I think it's a good point because earning more money doesn't fix the problem. It actually creates a bigger problem. Because then you change your lifestyle. And so, yeah, it's not about fixing your debt when you get more money, when you get a better job, when you get better income. It's about taking hold of that debt now and making sure it's got a plan. That way you can get rid of it and start living freely with your finances.
Yeah. Good deal. So maybe, I don't know if there's any last words to end on, or if we just want to sort of end on, if you're somebody struggling in debt, what would you encourage?
If you're in debt, look, I'm talking about it. I talked about, as a kid, I was brought up to look down upon people that were financially responsible. And yeah. I think it was a really unhealthy view, right? I've learned to, that's not a real thing. I've learned to overcome that, right?
Yeah.
I've learned to realize that that's pretty common. And it's, that's just kind of how life works. And, if you're in debt, don't get down about it, right? Don't think you did something wrong. Don't think just look forward, right? You can't be backwards looking on it. So, if you want to get out of debt, if you're in debt, if you're struggling with finances, you get help. One, you need accountability, right? Yeah. Build a plan, get some help, get some accountability. Doing it by yourself doesn't work, right? Getting out of sin, you're by yourself, doesn't work, right? You gotta have some help, right? You gotta have Christ, and then you have a body of believers that help you out too, right? So get some help. I think that's the big thing. So if you're feeling it, talk to somebody that you trust, put together a plan. And even if it feels hopeless, if you probably got extra stuff lying around the house that you don't need, get rid of some of it. The biggest thing is, if you get rid of something, don't feel the need to go fill the hole back up in your shelf. You just got rid of a bunch of small appliances that we don't use. And then I came back in like a week later and it was full of new things. I'm like, that wasn't the point of getting rid of those small appliances, but that's okay. There was space there for it. So it got filled.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's another thing, right? If you don't assign those dollars in that budget, right, if there's space there, it's going to get filled. Something's going to fill it. It's going to be $0, zero base, whether you assign it or whether it assigns itself. So,
yeah.
So don't get discouraged about it. A lot of people have gotten out of debt. I had a friend that he worked as a cashier at Lowe's, and his wife worked as a massage therapist at Massage Envy or something like that.
Yeah.
And they paid off 70 grand in debt in like a year and a half.
Yeah.
And like those aren't high paying jobs, right? But they paid off all this school debt because they put together a plan and attacked it and got rid of it. And if they can do it with those kind of jobs, then anybody can do it.
Yeah, that's great. And I would also say, I would just add to it, don't be discouraged. Also, we don't want to beat down on anybody. It's not about doing that. It's more about my encouragement is usually with these podcasts is take the time to stop and think, where am I at with my finances?
Yeah.
Where do I want to be? Am I happy with where I am? But don't leave it there. I think what you brought up was community. Ask people, you don't have to be specific, how much do you make? It's just, what do you do? Do you have a budget? Oh, I've got the spreadsheet. Can I just see a template, right? Or how it works? Or, I do this envelope system. You can just see what other people's experiences are. And you might even bump into somebody in the church who has had a story of debt and they got out of it, right?
Yep.
And it could be the same story you have. So I would say, just ask questions. Nobody's forcing you to do anything right now. We're not saying, oh, boo on you.
No,
it's take the time to just maybe stop, think about it, and think about if it could be possible, think about what it might do to you, and think about maybe is it robbing you of generosity,
absolutely,
and happiness and joy and whatever else. So cool. I think we'll end on that note.
Okay.
This has been Zach and Zach. So thanks, Zach, for coming. I appreciate it. I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Good. So to you listening, we pray that you found encouragement from today's conversation. Challenge you to share this episode with your family and friends. Even just opening up the conversation on debt and finances or budgeting or whatever. And we hope you'll join us again next time. This has been But Wait, There's More.